Hello everyone, welcome to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for what he's doing in our lives. God is mightily moving by his spirit. You know, never underestimate what the plan of the Lord. Whatever he revealed to you, if he called you to the ministry, give you an assignment, he comes to you with a thought, never underestimate it. Because God is mightily moving by his spirit, according to Zechariah, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, if that's true, when the Lord speaks to you his word, and he gives you things to say, agree with it, because it's going to work. That's going to work when nothing else will. When whatever he organizes, whatever he does, whatever he gives you to speak, it's very important. Remember, everything is evaluated. The stage is set. If a preacher walks up to preach and the Lord knew who was going to be there, he knew every concern. He know who's having thoughts of suicide. He know who's having problems in their marriage. He knows who's praying for direction. He know who's trying to figure out which career he wants or she wants. He knows what people are going through. He knows how children who may have lost a parent feel. He knows how parents who may have lost a child feels. And everything's evaluated, and he'll give you a message. Or he'll give you a word of encouragement. If you may not be a preacher yet, but whatever he puts on your heart to do, it's going to work. You're part of a greater plan. It's going to work. Have no fear. And the enemy is going to try to block you. Every time the Lord would, something like that would happen, the enemy one tried to change my focus. You know, if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. Well, if he changes your focus, now if it's fear of what somebody's going to think about you or how they're going to take it. What if it's not God? Never worry about that, because Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they won't follow." And the voice of God is detectable. And I do it this way. If the Lord says something that I want to hear, I'm all excited. I go tell people. Yeah, I'm jumping up and down, happy. But when he tell me something that I need to know from him, or give me an assignment, I have to receive it and mix faith with it, just like I do when it's something I want to hear. You know, you may call your children, you may say, "Come here," and they ignore you. But if you say, "Let's go get some ice cream," they run to you. All right? They knew your voice both times. No different with our Father. When the Father speaks or when the Holy Spirit gives us something, we know it's him. Come on, we know it's him. All right? Look at him. And the fear, if perfect love cast out fear. When you act on what he say, and you override what Satan, all of Satan's influences of fear and fear of the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. Maybe your first time ministry. Overlook him. Look to God. Tell Satan to shut up. Say, "Be quiet. Don't talk to me." And he'll have to do it, because he has no authority. You have the authority on earth. And when you speak that word, you're going to find people rejoicing. Some of them will look surprised. They're going to look all kind of ways. But the Lord taught me, never, don't pay attention. Don't be concerned with how people look. The Lord is speaking to their heart, not their mind. They may look confused. They may look forlorn. They may jump up and down and be happy. You don't know whether they're receiving or not, no matter how they act. The Lord taught me that. But he's speaking to the heart. And when that word gets in their heart, then they'll receive it, they'll mix faith with it, and they'll act on it. They'll speak it, and then they'll act on it in that order. and they'll be rescued from whatever it was. Or they'll be blessed, or you may give them a word of confirmation. All these things are very important because we're all in a warfare. Satan's trying to win and he can't. These are the things that I ran into as the Lord guided me. I had to believe in the work that he was doing in me. And to make a very long story short, it always works. And then I turn around and think about what happened, how the Lord did it, and I learn from it. Now, see, that's how we get to know the Lord. If you want to be guided by the Holy Spirit, you have to have faith in his guidance. You have to have faith in his lead. If he brings whatever he brings to your attention, just mix faith with it. Always mix faith with it. Now, you can't originate what God is doing. And the Lord always, he always guides his people according to his love. Now, the Lord would just, out of the blue, talk to his prophets. You know, it was common that the word of the Lord came to me saying something. And it took him by surprise. This is Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign, and it came to pass, and it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, now Jeremiah was minding his own business. It didn't say he was even at the temple in prayer. It just said, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, see, there go the enemy again. The enemy knew there was something about Jeremiah, and people treated him like a child. I don't know how old he was when the Lord called him, but he called him from the womb. He decided he would be a prophet while he was in his mother's womb. Now watch what the Lord said. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Then he said, be not afraid of thy faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, the day God called him, that's what he was anointed to do. The Lord touched his mouth. The second radio broadcast, I was doing the broadcast in the living room, and I felt it was like anointing oil just it started on my head and just fell down my face like honey, about the speed of honey, like somebody just poured a lot of oil on my head. I could feel it while I was still talking. See, when you go forward doing what God give you to do, you do an anointed work. And though the enemy tried to hinder it, he can't stop it. If you won't stop it, he can't stop it. He has to get you to stop the process because he's outclassed. I'm going to say that again. In order to stop it, he has to get you to decide on your own will to stop it. Through his tactics, he'll try it. Because he cannot stop the anointing of God. Because it breaks every yoke that he puts out there. A yoke is something that they put on two ox. Sometimes preachers use words Nobody use yokes anymore, and not especially in the city. If anybody still use them, with all the tractors we have, see, tractors took the place of ox. You in the old, before modern times came about, the farmers would plow with ox. They'd get too big, old ox can pull a lot of weight like a bulldozer. And they'll get two of them and they'll yoke them together so they could pull together. And they'll whip them and they'd move that load forward because they were yoked together. Now, the enemy tries to burden us down with the cares of this life, the world, the ways of the world, the wicked sins. He tried to get you trapped and bound with that. But the anointing comes and break the yoke and you're free. Now, when you're free, you can think. You're not under a load. You're not under any form of a satanic load. If it was pride, then the anointing can break it. You humble your heart, you love God, and you walk out of pride. If it was anger, you forgive. You have the power to forgive. You're not yoked down with anger, because that'll stay at the front of your mind. You can't think about anything else but how aggravated you are. You know, the anointing will break every yoke. If it's lust, the Lord will train you. The word will train you. You can receive. You learn how to love, and you learn how to not fear all the fears of lust. You can't satisfy lust. And when that yoke is broken, now you can think. You can enjoy the presence of God again. With the world system, you need something on the outside to make you feel good. But when you're complete in Christ, you are content on the inside. You don't have to have something on the outside. No matter how beautiful people are or how persuasive they are, you don't need them. You have communion with the Lord. And you can look to Him. And you don't have to fear the drama of lust and all that goes with it. If it's drugs or alcohol, the anointing can break the yoke. That's why when the Lord anoints you and you speak His word or you work miracles, whatever God anoints you to do, you will go out in life and you will break yokes for people. And then they can live and think and make better decisions without the cares of the sea. When people are burdened, some people want to stop the process of sin. And if they get saved and believe on Jesus and receive His word in their heart, they'll have the power to walk out of sin. They'll have the strength of the word instead of the weaknesses of the world. And there are people trapped, literally trapped, because sin gets out of hand. It gets to where you can't control it. You know, you've seen the spider tie fly up in that web. And you know that fly will never get out of that web. That spider, he's got him subdued. And he's still alive. The spider's saving him for later. He's going to wait a while. So that fly know he got a doom coming. But he can't get out. He hopes some bird come and get that spider so at least he don't have to die. But he still can't get out of that web. All right. If people that get on drugs or they get used to sin, they start sinning, that sin gets in their spirit and they become weak. Their will becomes so weak that they can't see themselves free from it. But you can't see the web they're wrapped up in. And they know they're trapped. They wish they could go back to not being that way. And they need people who have the power of the Holy Spirit to break the yokes. They need people that's anointed. You know, and there's so much teaching, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I was born in 63, grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And back then, churches, some good churches, they just didn't say nothing about the power of God. They put everything on God's will. But the word of God is not written that way. The word of God equips you to do the work of the ministry guided by the Holy Spirit. You can walk in power. You can destroy the works of the devil at your will. You are, in Christ, you are made whole. You are able, you can walk in God's power. You're invited to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to do the mighty works of God. When you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside to guide you. And then you can pray in the Holy Spirit. You can pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You have to welcome him to just like your life will be just like those in the book of Acts. You can speak the word of God in power. You can be guided by the Holy Spirit. Say not that you're a child. You know, you are what God made you to be. You are clean because the blood of the Lamb washed your sins away. You are justified because he rose from the dead to justify you. See, your righteousness is not of you. You didn't just decide to be good. I guess I'll be good today. No. If you're a Christian, you are made righteous. You are a new creature. Your spirit man is brand new. And when the Lord calls you to the ministry, all you have to do is receive it. You have to receive it, or you can reject it and be disobedient. But if you receive it and be obedient with it, now that's just like a man getting in a bulldozer. And he was commissioned to tear a house down. And sometimes in Bessemer there, where I work on bulldozers too sometimes. But sometimes they get an order to tear a house down. You know, it's abandoned. People do drugs in the house, and once the city acquired the legal way, they tear it down. If it's not fit to live in, they just tear it down. And that bulldozer tear that house down. Now, the man that get in there, it'll take him weeks to take that house apart. But in about 30 minutes, that house ain't nothing but rubble. Just like the yokes that you're going to break as you obey God under the anointing. And you, whatever God anointed you to do, you have his ability to do it. He commissioned you to do it, so you're sanctioned. You're set apart for this work. Then he give you his ability to do it. And you're just speaking words, laying hands, and people are getting raised from the dead, sick are being healed. People are being delivered from bondage and drugs and crack and AIDS and whatever. Cancer, all forms of cancer can be healed through somebody that Satan told was just a child. I got your child, Satan. I'm a man of God. So when the Lord call you and he give you his wisdom, whatever he say will be the order of the day. And you can help him as you speak God's word in faith. And don't look at the people. Look to the Lord. Whenever I go up before people to minister, you know, the enemy tried to use distractions. When I first started, he tried to get me to be afraid, so it'll change he was trying to change my focus, get me distracted. So I, you know, and people that'll distract the people too. But when you're not distracted by them and they know it, and you're looking to the Lord and speaking his word, they'll stop looking at you and start looking at what people look at, what the leaders look to. That's just the way it is. That's why God warned Jeremiah. He said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, I'm trying to find the scripture where the Lord told him not to be afraid of their faces. And because if he fear the people, it won't work. When you study these scriptures in Jeremiah, and you see how God called him and what happened, you can tell that that the Lord was mightily with him. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. You know, because that can distract the people. I'm going to tell you who helped me to minister God's word. He was the governor. Now, I went down to Montgomery. I was, when the first time I was married, my wife was a nurse. We went down there. I went with her so she could get her continuing education credits. And everybody running for governor came. It was around 94, I guess. And Fob James was there, and Guy Hunt was there. Paul, I forgot his name. He was over education. Everybody that was running that year was there. And when Fob James spoke, he was the most charismatic speaker of all of them. He had the most confidence in what he was saying. He had a determination that they didn't have. And everything he said made 10 times more sense than what they said. And everybody said good things. But he was outstanding. He had full confidence in what he was saying. And he meant every word. Fob James. And I said, this is the way you speak. What he did was a visual for me. And the next time I spoke, I just decided to walk in the confidence of God. Just like Fob James did. And he was a good governor. He is the one who they first wanted to take the Ten Commandments down. He sent, you know, this man had godly character. He said, nobody's taking that down. He sent the National Guard to defend the right for that judge to have that Ten Commandments in his courtroom. And nobody, and they had to wait till he was out of office. That's just a, you know, he was a man of character. And he was a blessing anyway. But I saw the confidence he had when he spoke. He made more sense. He believed in what he was saying. So when I started, what I did differently, I spoke with more confidence. I already believed what I was saying. And I spoke it with courage. And the people received the word better. Because if you're bold and you believe in what you're doing, it encourages people from the inside out. Even people who are reluctant. And that word can get in their heart. And over time, the Lord can use that word. If it grows in their heart, just like a seed. And then they'll have faith for the wisdom of God. And they'll make a change in their life. So never underestimate what God can do in you. Never underestimate what God can do in your children. Never underestimate what God can do in any of his people. Even those who are under you. People who are younger, less educated, who just got saved. People that are, never underestimate what God can do in any of his blood-bought people at any time. Because at any moment, you don't know what the Lord's been doing, preparing them for what. Sometimes things happen in people's lives, and they learn of God. They learn something from the Lord, and they have an ability nobody knows about. You know, my partner in business, Parnell, he used to pray for wisdom. And that man, he acted on wisdom better than most people I know. Everything he would always know what to do to solve problems. And the Lord took me aside, and I learned to be a mechanic. I didn't learn business at school. I was going to take accounting. And after I finished mechanic, but I never went back and took mechanic. I finished auto mechanics in college, in the trade school. But I never went back and got and took a business and accounting like I had originally planned, because I was going to open my own shop, and I was going to finish mechanic school, work at a dealership till I finished accounting, and take some business class, then open a shop in that order. But I got on the band and I never went back for that. But the Lord taught me business. But I wasn't, you know, when the Lord teaches you something, you have to, you may not be used to the knowledge that he's given you. But you are used to the way you do things. So the Lord taught me business. Then I worked with Parnell for a year. And Parnell was doing everything the Lord had taught me. He used to be a Shoney's manager. A good one, too. And he took auto mechanics in high school, but then he became a Shoney's manager. He could do some things on cars, but he was better at the business side. And watching him, you know, we both owned the shop together, but working with him for that year that he was there, it helped me to learn business. And he was a visual for me, and everything the Lord had taught me, it got in my habit system. See, when the Lord teach you something, but that doesn't mean it's in your habit system. And you still got the old way of doing things that you used to. So I had to unlearn what I had been doing and receive what the Lord say. But he was already doing the things that God taught me. And then I got it. And once I got it, I could use it. Then I could use the wisdom. You know, I used to have a complex about charging people fairly. You know, I wasn't charging enough. And that was out of everything the Lord ever taught me, he schooled me. He taught me about charging more. But I had I just had a complex about charging people. I didn't want to be the kind of mechanic that cheated people. So I suffered because I usually didn't charge enough. And he worked with me because God is patient. Sometimes you have to make adjustments if you want to have the life you desire. And I had to realize it was okay to charge more for my work. Now, whenever there's a problem like that, a persisting problem, the Lord can help you out of it. But when you mix faith with the Lord, when you have courage and faith for what he's doing, and you act on it, you're going to find out that the handiwork of God is good. The wisdom of God never fails. When he give you a word for somebody, it can make all the difference. And they can live. They can live. Kenneth Hagin was sent to a man to tell him that he needed to... What was he? He was eating too much sugar, and the Lord was going to warn him not to eat too much sugar. I think it was sugar, and also to walk in love with God's people, or he'd die. Now this wasn't a pleasant word, but he was supposed to tell this man that. And somebody came up and interrupted him, and then the man left, and he didn't get to tell him. And eventually, a few months later, he died. Now. That's how important it is. So when God gives you something to do, the first thing you do is agree with it, receive it. But immediately tell Satan, you will not hinder this work. I'm going to say it with your mouth and mean it from your heart. I'm going to speak this word to this person, and you cannot interfere. You can't hinder me. And pray and ask God to help you do it. Secure it. See, I learned to secure the things that God, because I had a vow, I said, I'm going to obey you and do whatever you say do. And the enemy always tried to hinder me. And time I get ready to talk to the pastor, somebody come and start a conversation, just like they did Brother Hagin. But I learned to wait. I'd wait. And then I'd talk to him and tell him the word. So, and sometimes three or four people to come up. And everybody had a situation, and I had to wait. I said, well, I just have to wait. And then I'll tell them the word. And sometimes the Lord would give it to me to write down. And I just hand them the paper. So get the job done. You have to be patient. But you have to believe in what you're doing. And you're not just a child. You are a child of God. you are born again. And you have the, you can do all that God say you can do. You can do everything the word say you can do. And you can have all the success that the word says you can have. But you're going to have to believe it. And you're going to have to act on it, just like Jeremiah. And then when the word of the Lord come to you saying, you didn't even know to pray for this. So it's not of your mind. And that's what you're going to have to mix faith with what God's saying. And you're going to make changes. You're going to see people change before your eyes. And when I would go and minister after what I learned from Bob James, how to speak before people, it got more, I was more relaxed. And I was at peace. I didn't feel, there was no fear. There was no concern. I knew God was with me. And I'll look at the audience in their eye. I just look at all of them without fear. And that helped their attention not be on me, but on what God had me saying. All these things you learn from the Lord. But when you have that kind of boldness, you can do everything that God give you to do. And you don't have to be hindered by Satan. He's going to try to hinder you, but you're going to have to stop him. Satan can be very obedient when you speak Jesus' name. I love it. I love saying that. I love seeing him lose. Well, I thank the Lord for what he's doing. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to move in your life and bless you. He has so much to say. And I thank God for what he's doing in our lives. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.